It's a news update here on WRCO, followed by our morning show time. The update at 9 is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, continuing the long tradition of caring service to area families, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. We're at 75 degrees at 9 o'clock.
This is a special report from ABC News, Americans back home. I'm Sherry Preston, a captive of the Kremlin one day with their families the next. That's what's happening for the Americans freed in the largest prisoner swap since the Cold War this week. ABC's Jim Ryan has more on their reintegration process happening in San Antonio.
At Brook Army Medical Center, Evan Gershkovich, Alsu Kormasheva, and Paul Whelan will receive medical evaluations and be debriefed about their time in the hands of the Russians. Retired Marine Whelan.
Looking forward to seeing my family down here and just recuperating from 5 years, 7 months, and 5 days of just absolute nonsense by the Russian government.
The Biden administration says Russia's charges against all three were fabricated. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump says the American negotiators who facilitated the deal are an embarrassment. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says
Paul Whelan was taken by the Russians when President Trump was president. Joe Biden got him freed.
A new study finds a regular aspirin could lower the chance of developing colon cancer in high-risk patients by nearly 20%. More research is needed into why it works. It's costing more to buy a cup of coffee. An Italian coffee maker, the latest to hike prices, blaming overseas conflicts and climate change. Analysts are predicting that coffee prices will stay high for now. Weather conditions and disease hitting the citrus industry, driving orange juice prices up 30% in the past year. In Philadelphia, a big billboard is letting local ladies know that Dave Klein is single and available. The 28-year-old data manager forking over more than $1,000 to rent the sign for a month. A week out, he's telling ABC News affiliate WPVI he's already getting some offers.
It's just supposed to be funny for the most part, but I'm not going to lie that the added benefit is that girls are messaging me first now, which is great.
I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same, sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The bowling alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
People often ask us at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Gattiger Pratt Funeral Home, what can I do to help? I'm Mark Jelinek. Some of the suggestions we share are simple and practical. Preparing food, washing clothes, cleaning the house, mowing the yard, or answering the telephone are just a few of the practical ways to show you care. Remember, support is needed at the time of death, and it is no less important in the weeks and months afterwards. For more helpful information, visit us at PrattFuneralService.com.
A high today of 88 with sunshine, very warm and humid. Tonight mainly clear with areas of fog, a low of 62. Saturday sunny with summer heat once again, not quite as muggy, a high of 88. A few clouds later on Saturday night, a low of 63. And Sunday 85 with a small chance of a shower or a thunderstorm.
Hi, this is Daniel Miller, Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. You know we got the best books. You know we got the best wine. You know we have the best records in probably southwest Wisconsin, and they're the best curated records, and I mean curated. We have the best records, and they're going out to the best homes. You should come by. Come by Saturday when we have two gents here nerding it out over the records. Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. Every day there's something new.
We all know what the 4-H pledge is. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Corporate dairy has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Washington done? Nothing. Politicians like Derek Van Orden focus more on culture wars than the war to save our way of life. He wants to ban all abortions. I want to keep the government out of our private decisions. Van Orden actually brags about sexually harassing military women. I honor women who serve our country. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because the values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
Your car does more than take you from point A to point B. It helps you navigate through life with those you love by your side. We are here to provide the protection you need on that journey while helping you get a great value for your money. With auto insurance coverage from Julie Karen State Farm, you can count on competitive prices, efficient claim service, around-the-clock support, convenient access, financial strength and integrity, and personalized service from a company and agency you can trust. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Today's specials are Country and Community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
On our morning show from WRCO and WRCE, today we focus on northern Richland County, one of our favorite spots, the village of Cazenovia. And joining me today is Jeff Even, village president of Cazenovia. Good to see you, Jeff.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
Doing real well. You come down with your red shirt on there. And
Yeah, I thought about putting the boonie hat on, but I wasn't sure if that was quite business casual appropriate, so I left that at home.
You gave me one of those, a Cazenovia Reds boonie hat. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, They're quite the hit this year. We've sold out twice, and I stopped in and warned our embroiderer that there will be another order coming, but I think we're going to do some pre-orders because I've already got some pre-sold out of the next batch. So, yeah, they've been a cool thing.
And you're rocking your Saltweedle store shirt. That's pretty impressive. Oh. That they've been around for a long time, haven't they?
Yep. 1946 is when John's dad, Paul, bought the store and opened it, he and Irene, and they've been... You know, it's been in the family ever since, and I kind of tell myself, if nothing else, and I die being the sole cheerleader of Saltweedle Store, I'll die a happy man. But
we saw you on the steps of the store in the recent Cazenovia parade. It looked like a real successful parade.
Yeah, the weather was beautiful. We had a lot of folks that really dug into the theme this year and building their floats. Typically, that would be Booger. announcing the parade, but we guilted him into being our parade marshal this year, so he couldn't announce and ride on a fire truck at the same time. So I was the next best option.
So you recently dedicated your booth to Pat Brigham. It's officially the Booger Box, but that's his nickname, and that was really cool that you did that.
Yeah, last fall we were just kind of sitting around and thought, you know, like it. Booger's been doing this for so long, and we call him Booger affectionately, and, you know, he's been doing it so long, and he really makes the game day in Cazenovia something special. We are probably one of the smallest market teams in the home talent league. You know, when you talk about small markets in the major league, when it comes to the home talent, Cazenovia has to be one of the smallest, but I think we have one of the best game day atmospheres in the league, and Booger is easily the key to that, and... You know, we were sitting around having maybe a drink and thought, you know, we've got to do something. Let's dedicate the press box to him. So I sent him a text out of the blue at 8 o'clock at night. And I said, hey, Boog, when did you start announcing for the Reds? Just, you know, casual. And he came back and said, well, part time in 1990, full time in 1991. And I thought, OK, we'll prorate your part time year. And little did he know that set things in motion for the next 8 months to build up to what we did. But. Yeah, I mean, we're a little quirky in Caz, so, you know, a lot of places have press boxes and crow's nests and announcing booths, and I think we're probably the only one in the nation, if not the world, that has a booger box.
It's pretty impressive. But you mentioned that, and I've been to a lot of the home talent locations over my 35-plus years, but I don't know that anybody supports our team better than the Reds fans, because it's an event when you play a game up there, isn't it?
It is, and we can't say enough about our fan base. We pull from the Hub City area, pretty well all around the Cazenovia 20-mile radius area, you know, that doesn't have a team. But, you know, and our record hasn't been great since our off year, but they're just so appreciative of having a baseball team. That's one thing Cazenovia for over a century has always had a baseball team. We've always been a baseball town, and to still have that, to have that opportunity for that community event, that, and really it's an opportunity for fellowship on a Sunday where people mm-hmm. come out, they talk about, you know, the weather, the farming, and, you know, I think there just happens to be a baseball game in the background sometimes. But it's just an opportunity to come to the park, and we really do have a neat little ballpark there, too, for to come hang out in. And, yeah, other than Ashton, I think Ashton might beat us out as far as a fan base goes. But I think we probably have one of the best in the league, if not the best.
Ashton has a church and a bar. You guys have a little bit more than that. So you're a little bigger town.
Yeah, a little bit. We've got a post office, too.
So. Yeah, you do. So tell me what it means to be the president, the village president of Cazenovia. What does that entail?
Oh, well, I get to be the person that everybody complains to.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's the chief title. No, really, in my eyes, it's establishing a vision for Caz. You know, we know where we are right now. Like all small towns, we have our blemishes, and we're aware of it. But there is a lot of good in Cazenovia, and I think part of that and part of my role is just fleshing out and exposing that good and really trying to build and rally around that. You know, rural America is its own struggle, and it's been on. You know, you think about rural decline and rural economies. You know, Cazenovia has its own economy. It's very fragile, but we have one. And it's trying to figure out how that farming community of the 1900s and 50s and 60s and 70s, with, you know, the decline of the family farm, how do you adapt to make Cazenovia a resilient, successful community in the 21st century, where, you know, we don't have those family farms that built and supported those businesses, but now you also have, you know, the work from home environment, the hybrid environment, where you may not have your younger workforce commuting every single day, where, you know, there may be opportunities there with that, the advent of broadband. We have fiber optic broadband to every doorstep in Cazenovia. So there are opportunities there. It's just trying to balance honoring our past and then trying to find a path for us to be a strong community moving forward into the 21st century.
You've recently had some street construction, I believe, haven't you?
Yeah, that's been a blessing from the state of Wisconsin. The DOT has come through. The first phase was replacing Highway 58 from the Lee Lake Bridge, so the bridge down by the gas station, all the way to the intersection with Highway 33 in Laval. So that'll complete the phase this year. And then I believe next year they will go from that bridge down to, I believe, County N here in Richland County, and continue on with replacing the highway there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So work should be finished a little bit later on this summer than it sounds like.
Yeah, yep. This spring they were hoping to be done by July 30th, 31st, depending on weather, and then we went and had one of the best rain years we've had in recent memory, so that pushed things back a little bit. But they're mostly done in Cazenovia. There's a few intersections they have to come back and finish up, but it's nice having the road done, for sure.
You have lots of events, Jeff, in Caz, the Caz Cars and Coffee. I think you have another one of those tomorrow, don't you?
Yep, that'll be tomorrow morning from 8 until 11, and that was a brainchild between myself and Steve Prouty. He owns Vintage Camper Restoration in Cazenovia, and a casual opportunity for people to come out, bring their vehicles, whatever it may be. We've had semi-trucks. We've had the Reds bus show up one morning. but whatever you have, whatever condition it is, it's again, just another opportunity for fellowship. We supply the coffee for free. You know, we're able to carve that out of my budget. but And it's just a nice morning. And then come 11 o'clock, you can be on your way and you have the rest of your Saturday to do what you wish. Margo's Vendors on Main, they run a free farmer's market on Main Street as well. I know Patchwork Acres, who are my great aunt and uncle, Ed and Trindle Wells, they've been coming up supporting it. And yeah, it's just when the weather's nice, it's a nice morning to just to come out and hang out in Kaz.
The gas station recently changed hands, didn't it?
Yeah, that sold this spring. It's now called Kazmart. Andy Shadle is kind of the ringleader on that one. He's a younger gentleman. I think he's around my age, which I'm old, so maybe he's an older gentleman. But
you're old, yeah, right.
But he's made some improvements there, some renovations. Some of it's been mandated by the overall Cenex brand, but. It's nice to see somebody saw the value in it, willing to invest in it and continue investing and improving the business. So Norm and Joan Klingman ran a very nice business over the many years that they had it. And it's nice to see that somebody's taking it over and continuing that, nurturing that care for it.
It's a real blessing. I know if I'm coming from Laval and I forget to check my gas gauge, it's a long way between there and Richland Center, so it's nice to have somewhere to stop.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's kind of an oasis in a sense, in a desert of convenience stores and gas stations. So, if you're on your way, and I always make sure I try to buy all the gas I can from there. If I'm somewhere and I need to just get home, I'll fill up just to get home, and then I'll fill up in Kaz, but. It's really a benefit to the community to have that.
You mentioned the Reds bus, and for our listeners that have not experienced that, haven't been to an away game for the Kaz Reds, they actually do have a bus, and you're the driver, and I just have to laugh when I see you guys coming because it's such a throwback. It's like some minor league team from the 40s. But you're actually driving, and you pulled into Arena one day, and the people that were there actually gave you a round of applause. You pull right up to the dugout, everybody's like, whoa, Casanova is here. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think we're getting to be more famous for the bus than our baseball team anymore. But and that, I got to give credit to that. That was Nick Stittleberg's harebrained idea. And it's hard to believe it's been 7 years since we bought it. We bought it in June of 2017, and I was just checking this morning to try and figure that out. But one day he's like, I think it was after a game. He's like, we should get a bus, and he has some outlandish ideas sometimes, and everybody's like, yeah, okay, whatever. That's Grubble being Grubble, and we call him Grubble for those that don't know. But and then he just kept on saying it and saying it and saying it, and eventually I'm like, and I, at that time, I drove a school bus for Weston. At one point, I was a full-time school bus driver there. I drove part-time for Ithaca, and I thought, I know a guy that bought my old route bus when Weston sold it. And one night, he and I were talking, like, if you're serious about this, I think we could do this. I think the guy would like to sell it. He hasn't done anything with it for a couple years. So I texted the gentleman that bought it, who was the former bus manager, and I said, hey, do you still have my old bus? And so, yeah, I got it here. Would you sell it? Yeah, I'll sell it for what I bought it for. And I think he threw a couple new batteries in. But Nick and I went and looked at it. We test drove it. It started after 2 years, and it didn't fall apart going down the road. So we decided, well, let's do it. We for $1,500, we bought a bus. We collected contributions from folks in the community that wanted to buy shares of it. So if you bought a share, that meant you could use it at any time, just refill the fuel. And so June we bought a bus. August we bought a couple gallons of paint from Farm and Fleet, International Red, and Chuck Denman sprayed it for us. We had a party one morning and masked everything off, and for the next 7 years we had a bus.
Yeah, but that's awesome. It has to be painted other than yellow if you're going to use it for something.
Yeah. So like there are certain things you have to take the lights off,
right.
The strobe lights. You have to cover things, and then obviously it had to be red, but. We do get a lot of compliments on it, a lot of comments. We'll go somewhere without it, just casually, and somebody will say, like, yeah, you guys are the ones with the bus, right? Yeah, we sure are.
And people can rent it out if they want to, can't they?
We allow folks to use it as a safe ride on evenings, as long as we have somebody available to drive it, and it's not already reserved for the Reds or something else. But kind of helps cover its own bills and some of the improvements that have to be made, the ongoing maintenance, because running a car isn't cheap. A bus isn't any cheaper.
Right. And you've got to insure it and, you know, keep it roadworthy and everything. That's not cheap.
It's kind of a, like I said, Casanova, we're a little quirky, and that's just another little quirk that we have in our handbag up there is the bus.
Well, when we talk Cas history, I think people right away probably think of your most famous son, Ryan Duren. And I had a chance to cross paths with him numerous times. You know, it was pretty cool when he'd walk across and come over to the game and things like that. But you probably get a lot of questions about him, too, don't you?
Yeah, we get a few. He's, you know, it's been a number of years since he's passed away now, and some folks remember that he is, but some of the, you know, as your generations age and the younger ones come in, you know, unless you make a point of bringing it up, they might not know, you know, they may not follow Yankees baseball from the 1940s and realize that somebody from Casanova played, but it is a neat little trinket to, you know, conversation piece to have. I mowed his lawn for a little while when he retired to Casanova, and yeah, it's just a neat piece of history of Cas that not everybody can claim. And, you know, in another point, George Webb, you know, the George Webb restaurants in Milwaukee, he was born and raised in Casanova.
I did not know that. Yep. Boy, that's awesome trivia.
Yep, he sure was. And I thought about making that a trivia question for you, but I'd
have lost on that.
I blew that one, but yeah, he was born and raised in Cas, and he lied about his age to go off to the Army and fight in the First World War, came back and met his wife Evelyn in Casanova, and they ran off to Milwaukee and bought a small burger restaurant, and that became George Webb, and he grew up from there, and it's the George Webb restaurant you know today that, you know, when the brewer scores at 7 runs in an inning, you get seven
right.
burgers. And
free burgers, yes.
Yeah, yeah, so that's a little more unknown piece of Casanova history.
Okay. So he might be the second most famous resident then. That
yeah,
there.
Yeah. If we're gonna put it in a hierarchy.
Yeah, then you're probably third. Then.
Yeah, and then you got Phil Thompson probably in fourth.
When we talk about the park too, your community has made so many great improvements over the last few years, haven't you?
Yeah, and that is really the crown jewel of Casanova, between the park and the lake. You know, it's often said it's the only lake in Richland County, which it is, but it is a nice little lake. The way it frames the park, it is just a neat little facility. And really, when it comes for the village budget, outside of general maintenance, taxpayer dollars really aren't spent on the things that you see at the park. You know, the new scoreboards, you know, on the baseball diamond, that was donated by Royal Bank in totality, in recognition to Pat Stittleberg. He was the banker that forever in Casanova upon retirement. The new one on the softball diamond was all paid for completely through sponsorships. The bleachers were, you know, donations in memory of Doug Schluter, a past village president. Just everything that you see is either, you know, donation projects specifically for what you see, or just, you know, general community fundraisers that make it happen. But you know, I've been working on the park for a number of years now, and it never ceases to amaze me that you can float an idea out there and really the community rallies behind it, and, you know, let's figure out a way to make it happen, and so far we have.
Yeah, you've immortalized some of those folks. Doug Schluter, I used to play some dances for him quite often, you know, when he owned Doug's Pub, but there are others that are immortalized on the benches in the park too, right?
Yeah, and so it's called Casanova Memorial Park, and it was originally built by the American Legion. It opened in 1947 is the date that I was given. And it started out initially as kind of a veterans memorial park, but it's really grown to be just a community memorial park. And I think that is the neatest thing, that, you know, that folks and families entrust us to memorialize their loved ones. So, like you said, I actually have 4 new benches that just came in this month that'll be going in. All over the park, the memorial benches have really become kind of a newer thing for us. But yeah, you'll see benches scattered all over the place with names and memory of so-and-so. And there's plaques memorializing other contributions to the park. And it really is just a community. It's a tribute to the community by memorializing our family members and friends, which I think is really, really, it says a lot about Casanova and just, you know, our community in general.
that was kind of our summer trip when I was a kid, is to go fishing at Lee Lake, because on the farm you didn't get very many unless it rained, you know. But we would go fishing there. A lot of people still do that, and you know, a lot of recreation there all the time at Lee Lake.
Yeah, and when it comes to fishing, the Kaz Turkey Busters are our local outdoor club and philanthropic organization, I guess you could say too. They really have put a lot of work in over the years of stocking that lake, working with the DNR and other organizations to make sure that, you know, it is really a quality fishery in that lake. And whether you're going to fish for a smallmouth or crappie, or, you know, it's rumored there's some walleye and northern in there as well, you're likely going to catch something.
I think one of my fishing poles is in there too, so you might get that. You never know. Lost it at old Zebco there years ago.
Yeah, and I think there's a few cell phones in there too. So if, you know, there's, you never know what you'll find.
But you mentioned the park and all of the people that help run it and donate it and everything. And one of the very first events of the year is the Kaz Polar Plunge, isn't it?
Yeah, and that really is just, you know, when you talk about the good of Cazenovia, I think that really serves as an appropriate highlight, a headliner for that. You know, cancer has touched all of us, whether directly or through family members and friends. And the amount of funds raised, and not even the amount of money that's raised that day through that event, but just the sheer number of people that come out to support it. You know, and I think that's almost a bigger statement of is just the amount of support and that people come and show that. And when you're there, I mean, you can just feel the good in the air. I mean, it's a powerful event. I'm so proud of the people that put it on. Terry Benning was kind of the head of it for the 20 years that I think she ran it. Chrissy Latica has now stepped in with her volunteers. I know Terry's still involved, but it's really a community effort, and I just can't speak enough to the people that organize it. I jump in, and it's, you know, I'm glad I only do it once a year, but it's a really impactful event, and I could not be more proud of our community for putting it on.
After you jump in that water, then you probably don't feel it after a little while, do you, or do you?
Well, you jump in, and it's, you know, it's the initial shock, and then you realize, like, oh boy, I should get out of here. This isn't the most fun thing in the world. And so I normally go over and I hug one of the firefighters in the water because they need to get wet too. And yeah, it's really not as bad as what you would think it would be. You get the initial shock. It's almost worse getting out to change, because
yes,
then you're trying to peel these cold clothes off of you. But being in the water itself is not as awful as you think it would be.
Yeah, if there's any air movement, I'm guessing it's a little chilly when you get out.
Yeah, well, you know, they say it's not the heat, it's the humidity. Well, it's not the cold, it's the wind.
It's so. The wind, yes, it is. Jeff Even, our guest here on WRCO, you were working for Richland County for a while. You've changed positions, it sounds like.
Yeah, so I've been the county treasurer since officially October of 2021. I am now moving on to the city of Platteville. I'll be stepping in as their accounting and finance manager. So that I'll be starting there on Monday, and just working with the county now, it sounds like, well, I will be coming in a couple nights a week to help get some critical functions of the office completed and make sure any necessary reporting is being completed, just because with the time frame, we're not going to have somebody in there to serve that full capacity right away. So I wasn't looking for a job. The opportunity just kind of came along, and I have no ill will with Richland County. I love everybody I work with. There's some great folks in that courthouse serving the county every day, and if I can continue to be of service to help with the transition, I'm more than happy to do that.
That's awesome that you're still helping out Richland County a little bit then.
Yeah, well, this is my home, and I'm still going to live in Cazenovia and kind of figure out what that's going to look like as far as the commute to Platteville and back. No, this is a great area. There's so many people around here that just do so many good things for our area community. You know, I when I speak of Cazenovia, I like to, you know, it's just a microcosm of good. You know, there's just so many good things that happen, whether it's making headlines or behind the scenes. There's just so many good people here, and I just can't see myself leaving that.
Well said. Maybe the Reds need to buy a plane so you can get to Platteville faster then.
Don't give Nick any ideas.
That's a little more difficult. You got to get your license and everything, too, for the plane. So your position at Platteville will be a little bit similar then to what you did in Richland County?
On the basis, it'll still be the finances of the city versus the county, but it'll be a little more diverse set of responsibilities. At the county, I don't touch, payroll so much. I don't touch the physical cutting of checks because the separation of duties, cutting checks happens in the clerk's office, taking money in happens in the treasurer's office. But in Platteville, I'll be overseeing the entire department of payroll, accounts receivable, accounts payable are down there. It'll be their water and sewer utility billing as well. So as far as level of responsibility, it'll be, relatively similar. It'll just be a more diverse set of responsibilities.
Well, good luck with that.
Oh, I appreciate it.
And thanks for your service to the county as well here in Richland.
Yeah, it's truly been a pleasure.
Good deal. Anything else you'd like to add about CAS or its history or anything, Jeff?
Well, I brought I have a little surprise here, Phil. Last Friday, listening to you and Hank on the Roundup, he brought you the bacon-flavored cricket. Yeah,
yes.
And frankly, I'm concerned about your well-being if Henry's allowed to have a stranglehold on the nutrition program here at WRCO. So I thought I'd bring some humanitarian aid in the form of a Casanova Care Package.
Casanova Care Package?
Yep. So all of these items here are either created or sold in Casanova. So I'm going to start off here with a half pint of Bower Valley maple syrup.
Oh, awesome. They bring me some on ice cream once in a while when I'm up there at the celebration.
Yeah, and fan appreciation. They're actually my cousins, the Bower family. They're generations old of making pure maple syrup. They at the state level, they're, pretty regular blue ribbon winners. But if you want to wash that down, I have some maple popcorn Bower Valley as well. Dean Bower is kind of the ring leader there, but he's contracted with Badger Popcorn out of Madison. They make popcorn with their maple syrup.
Thank you so much.
Part of that. Then if you get thirsty, part of the fellowship in CAS is food and beer, but I brought you down some root beer.
All right.
This here is Wisconsin maple root beer. This is not made with Bower Valley syrup directly, but Bower Valley is a member of the Wisconsin Maple Producers. And Dean is actually a section president for an area of the state. So this is made by Sprecher, but made with real Wisconsin syrup.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to try that.
You guys can
have to crack one open
share
here.
That around.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you.
And then if you need some protein, Salt Wheatle Store is very well known for selling Farley's Natural Casing Wieners. So I brought you down a small package of those.
Woohoo!
And... You might need some grain, so I brought some club crackers sold by Salt Wheatles, but you can't eat those plain.
Okay, they're not made in Casanova, they're sold in Casanova
at Salt Wheatles.
All right.
But the coup de grace here, it would not be any kind of Casanova gathering, party, or reunion without an authentic John Salt Wheatle cheese and sausage tray.
Oh, look at that. My goodness.
John makes these by hand. He he has a template. He cuts out his own cardboard, lines it with foil. This is a Casanova staple if there ever was one. It really is not a party in Casanova if you don't see a John Salt Wheatle cheese tray there. So our gift to you guys at WRCO here.
Wow, that is so nice, man. I got tears in my eyes. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you to everybody in Casanova, and thanks to you, Jeffrey, for bringing that in here today. We're just going to have to keep that away from our Grace auction workers because Michael gets into that. He's not going to be able to answer the phone today.
If you take a piece of cracker, cheese, and sausage, the cheese doesn't gummy up so much. So
is that what it is?
Yeah.
I can talk better?
Then you can talk a little better. And if you wash it down with some maple root beer, that helps. But
you speak from experience there.
growing up in CAS, I've had a couple of these once or twice through the years. But I think you should know that these have commanded a hefty price at past auctions. At the Salt Wheatle 75th anniversary party, we auctioned one off for over $500. We had a benefit game for the Kaz Reds for the Dyedlaw family this year, with cheese tray went for well over 100. So they command a high value in Casanova.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Jeffrey. Yeah. Appreciate your friendship over the years.
You bet. We appreciate all you do for the Reds. Thanks. We always enjoy having you down in the booth. It's truly a treat having you around. And always welcome in Kaz.
Thank you very much. I like that. Not only the good friends I see there, but it's nice to have a roof over my head because I don't always have that in home talent baseball. I don't have to worry about the rain so much in Kaz. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Phil.
You bet. Jeff Even joining us on this portion of the morning show.
I'm Tiffany, founder of Harlem Pilates. When I couldn't find Pilates in my neighborhood, I started a studio from my studio apartment. Chase Inc. helped me grow from one Pilates studio to three. Because when you start small, you're going to need some big help.
With the Chase Inc. Business Cash Card, you can earn up to 5% cash back on business essentials, so your business can go from here to possible. Chase for Business. Make more of what's yours. Real business owner compensated for their participation. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Now is a good time to reflect on your pharmacy needs. If you're thinking about switching, the place to go for great service from people who care is the Richland Family Prescription Center. The staff and pharmacists do whatever it takes to help you. They're never too busy to answer questions. Their goal is to be your primary source of healthcare information. With everyone watching every penny, they know it's dangerous and unhealthy not to take your medicine as prescribed by your doctor. They've always matched any price and honor any prescription program. They also work with you and your doctor to find less expensive medications. And the Richland Family Prescription Center features free in-town delivery and free mailing. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
On our morning show from WRCO, we're pleased to have on the line Roddy Dull, who's organizing the Rock and Roll Reunion again this year. How you doing, Roddy?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
Doing great. Talking about the reunion a year ago, and that was kind of a success a year ago for you, wasn't it?
Oh, it really, really was. Yep, we raised about $5,000 last year, and last year's event money went to help needy veterans in both Crawford and Grant counties.
So tell me about the 2024 edition, which is coming up this Saturday.
Yep. Well, every year we try to find a different place for the money to go. So 2 years ago, we gave it to a mental health organization in Grant County. This year, we're going a little wider. We're paying the money out directly to families that are dealing with cancer. And so the money goes out to families. You can nominate a family at Rock and Roll Reunion. And we keep all of those names private, so we don't have to worry about the privacy. And the musicians that play there pretty much come from a four-county area, Richland, Grant, Vernon, and Crawford. So we're going to get families nominated from those four counties. And then when the event's over, we total up all the money that we made, and we divide it equally among all of those that were nominated for the help.
Tell us about the beginnings of the Rock and Roll Reunion and how it started.
Well, we started back in 2010, and there was a guitar player from around Richland Center. His name was Dale Kidd. And Dale passed away way too young, but he was a really, really good-hearted fella. He played often and donated a lot to a children's charity to feed hungry children. And when he passed away, we put the first reunion together kind of in his name and in his memory. And we raised a bunch of money and gave the money to the charity that he was the most fond of at that time. And the musicians had so much fun that they said, we should really do this every year. And none of us were close enough to retirement at that point to really make it an annual event. But when COVID hit in 2020, we decided that every year we should do it because, you know, we're losing some of our older musicians and people move away, and just for the musicians' sake to get together and, you know, remember the old times, we decided to do it every year.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, and as you were talking, Roddy, I was thinking about Vilas Craig, you know, a good example of a musician that used to get up there and jam with you, and he's no longer with us.
Yep, and I this last year alone, we lost four or five musicians really close to me. A couple of them from Vilas's band, Gordon Glass from Richland Center in that area over there. He drummed for Vilas, and Doug Batchelor, originally from Boscobel, was Vilas's lead guitar player. And I was lucky enough to be in the new Viscounts, believe it or not. And that five-piece band only has two of us left. So yeah, in 1 year, it just shows you how quick that can have people disappear, you know.
Yeah, so that's important to get together. And what can you tell us about this year's lineup?
This year's lineup is really diverse. I mean, there's about 30 different musicians or more there. And we're covering every genre from kind of classic to big band to rock and roll, country jazz, a little of everything, blues. And so it's really neat. It's really an eclectic get together for music, but there's something for everybody, and all the musicians donate their time. There's a really great lineup of people,
and a lot that have been there before, and probably some new members that you're bringing to the stage too, right?
Yeah, we're really, really encouraging the younger group of musicians out there to show up. And this year we got a lot of them. We've got a couple of young men right from around the Woodman area there, and a young lady from around La Crosse, Abby Emler, is coming. And we've got a lot of young, new faces there, and we're hoping that as the rest of us get older, this is a tradition that they'll, you know, keep moving forward.
Are you going to have a band there, Roddy?
I'm actually playing with about four or five different bands there in a different position. I'm a bass player for one and a rhythm player for one and a lead guitar player for one. One of the kind of finale groups that day, there was a old friend of mine from the Boscobel area, a super great singer. And this he's making his first appearance there, and his name is Jeff Lee. And he was the lead singer for a band called Tremor. And the band that's working with him that day has one member of probably five or six different rock and roll bands from that same era. So we're all playing together as a group, but each one of us is kind of representing the old band that we used to play for, which is kind of cool.
That is cool. That reminds me, one time I talked to a musician and I asked him, you know, what band he was in, and he said, I'm in four of them and they're all broken up. So I don't know if you can relate to that or not.
Oh, yeah, kind of, yeah.
The music community, though, is a close community, isn't it?
Oh, it really is, I tell you. And, you know, they come out of the woodwork to help prepare for this, too. So a lot of the guys that I grew up with playing music, you know, they're coming down on Wednesday and Thursday and staying overnight, and they help put the stage up. And we've got a young man who actually grew up in Woodman there that, you know, owns a restaurant or two, and he takes his time to come and prepare the food and put all that together. And it's just a really great community event, you know, people enjoy it, and it's about the reunion as much as it is the music.
Now, aren't there a couple of schools that will be back there in terms of their reunions, just a part of Rock and Roll Reunion as well?
Yeah, North Crawford High School's kind of made it a tradition. They have an all-school reunion held at Rock and Roll Reunion every year. And in the past, a couple different classes from Boscobel was there. I know for sure the class of 1966 in Boscobel, they wanted me to reserve a portion of a shelter for them. So they'll be there, and the North Crawford group all together will be there. And, you know, we invite all of the class reunions to come and share their class stories. And probably most of them remember at least a few musicians that will be playing there that day.
Can you tell me about the food that will be available?
I think it's a kind of a traditional event menu. It's probably burgers and sodas and, you know, chips and things like that. I haven't quite got the menu from Austin yet, but I'm thinking he's probably going to get that to me this week. And then it's a bring-your-own-chair, bring-your-own-beverage event. We don't serve alcohol there, but because it's in the park, you know, you can bring whatever you choose to drink for yourself. We do sell soft drinks, and we sell the food there. And then the way we really raise the money is the sale of our T-shirts. And because it is a free event, you don't have to pay to get in, we encourage people to buy a shirt. And that helps promote the event from year to year. And 100% of the profits from the shirts goes directly to whatever we're we're giving the money away for that year.
So the shirt is definitely a collector's item. Is there a set price for it, or is it just kind of whatever you offer?
The people that had pre-ordered shirts got them for $15, but the pre-orders are done. So the shirts are $20. And, you know, for a full day's entertainment with no cover charge and to take the shirt home, you know, as a memento of the day, it's a real bargain. So,
have you had good weather over the years for this event, or have you had to kind of cut it short a couple of times?
We have only had to cut it short once, and that was a couple of years ago when we had the tornado in Boscobel.
Oh, yeah.
And we're all gathered around in the shelter looking at the sky and somewhat fearful, and we hadn't realized at that point that Boscobel was getting hit pretty hard. And, you know, so we did manage to, you know, escort some people out and get them going in different directions. But other than that, we've sidestepped the rain and the wind and everything since 2010. Can you believe it?
No, you're right. You're doing well, and I think you're going to be all right this Saturday. We'll hope so anyway.
It really sounds like it's going to be a beautiful day, you know?
You have also highlighted musicians over the years, and you've had kind of a Hall of Fame thing. Are you doing that again this year?
We are this year. There are three recipients this year, but my lips are sealed.
Oh! You know,
it's always a surprise, and so they don't know, and there may be one or two other musicians there that day that I had to collect some information from to put together these awards. And but yeah, there are three very deserving artists this year that will get an award. Last year, believe it or not, since 2010, I ended up with an award myself, which I never had on the drawing table. You know, I present the awards every year, and at the end of my presentation, some of my old friends walked up behind and they said, "Well, the awards aren't over yet." And I'm looking like, "Well, this wasn't in the script, so what's going to happen here?" And the next thing I know, they started reading off my my whole history of my musical history. And in addition to being presented with the award, one of the musicians slipped up behind me and the group went together and slipped a brand new 12-string Guild guitar over my neck as a token of their appreciation. So, Ooh. Hey, I got the full Monty there last year as far as, you know, being recognized. It's pretty cool. I'm really honored.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, you're in there with a lot of musicians that you probably worked with over the years, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, so many big names, you know, like Gary Chamberlain from Fenimore. You know, he had a 45 record out. And Vilas, you know, had several records out. And I was so honored to think that, you know, I got to play with Vilas for, you know, on and off for quite a few years. But I made it to the Viscount list, which is, you know, not everybody gets there. So that was quite an honor. There's a lot of talented people there, a lot of recording artists, believe it or not, from, you know, locally.
Oh, you are as well. Are you going to be signing your 45 that day as well, Roddy, or not?
I am. I don't have many left because I'm saving one for you and the radio station over there, you know. But I think it was back around 1987 I recorded a 45 with the band called Home Cookin'. And surprisingly enough, it got a lot of local airplay on your station, too, over there. So I want to make sure that you've got one of the originals with my signature on it in case you ever have a mice problem or something. You can you can put that in the closet and, you know, make sure that it keeps everything away. But
well, we'll see if we can make it number one again, you know. If
hey,
you
that would copy. Be super. That'd be super, yeah.
So it's this week. What are the times? When does it start and when would it approximately end, Roddy?
We usually used to start around 11, but we had so many acts this year, we're actually starting at 10:30. And so we start at 10:30. Each band plays a short set. So, you know, they're like 35, 40 minutes. So if there's a group there that you were going to travel just to see one group, make sure that you check the schedule and make sure you're there early in case the schedule shifts a little bit. But we start about 10:30 in the morning, and we're usually done about 10:30 at night. So we have the lights on, you know, on the stage and everything by the time we quit. But we're all getting old, so the super late nights really aren't that popular for any of us, you know.
And it sounds like you have a pretty nice stage, too, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We actually have our own stage with the help of some of my friends. We built our own rock and roll reunion stage. It's portable and it's covered, and it has a nice LED sign on the back that displays messages while the performers are playing, and it's lighted and wired. And we're big stuff in Woodman when we put these things on.
It sounds like it. And again, the proceeds go into some area families. Again, is that correct?
Yep, they're going to families that are dealing with cancer in the four county area: Richland, Grant, Vernon, and Crawford. And you can nominate a family. You have to do it at the event, so we're not taking mail-in nominations. And you just fill out a small slip of paper that's got the family's name and contact information on it. And then you just fill out a line on the bottom as their sponsor with your phone number. And that's only there in case, for some reason, we can't get the mail to go through to that particular family or something. But the people receiving them won't know who nominated them. And the public really won't know which families are getting the money, unless the families themselves wanted to say something, because we want to keep those things as private as we can.
Bring your own beverage, bring your own chair, and, I guess rock and roll all day and part of the night then, right?
Yep, and it's not just rock and roll, but the name Rock and Roll Reunion really rolls off the tongue nice, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, no doubt.
And so, you're going to hear some jazz and some blues and some country and some folk, and you're going to hear a little of everything, and so it's really a great opportunity to hear just how diverse artists are in this area.
All right, and you'll have to let us know afterwards who the musicians going into the Hall of Fame are. We wanted to get a morning show exclusive today, but we'll wait and after the surprise on Saturday then.
That sounds really good. And when this is all done, I'll make a personal trip over there with that 45 and fill you in on the award recipients and all that stuff.
Well, that'd be awesome. Hey, thanks for all you do, Roddy, and keep the music going, and we'll be plugging that this week, the upcoming Rock and Roll Reunion. Take care, my friend.
And thank you very much for all you do as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Boarding House Antiques in Richland Center, where you can treasure hunt in 17 rooms of antiques and gifts. There's live music at the Garden Stage every second Friday of the month, June through September. Tammy and Margie invite you to visit Tuesday through Saturday. Check out the historic Boarding House Antiques. Check them out on Facebook and their webpage. They buy antiques. 339 West Seminary Street in Richland Center, next to the depot.
At Rockwell, community involvement is important to us. Each year, our team donates thousands of dollars to local charities, such as Grace and the Richland Center Food Pantry. Our community involvement does not stop there. We are currently in the process of gathering supplies for local schools. Collections are going within our facility through August 30th. In addition, we partnered with the Richland School District, and therefore, there is a drop box at the district office for anyone in the community who wants to donate supplies to. Their office is open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Friday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Please join us in donating these items to help our local schools.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark Jelenic, today let's talk about veterans benefits. What can you tell us about that?
Sure. So a lot of people, when they come in, if they're a veteran, their family may think that they're eligible for a lot of different items from the veterans. Some veterans are, but a lot of veterans are simply eligible for not financial compensation, but a veteran that was honorably discharged from the United States military is eligible for a flag, a bronze marker at a cemetery. I guess I should back up. Not necessarily a bronze marker, but a cemetery marker of some kind. So there are stone, there's marble, there's granite. A lot of people go with the bronze, but you're eligible for some sort of marker at the cemetery, and you're eligible for a military salute if you would like it. That's what you kind of think of with the taps, the firing of the guns, the presentation of the flag, if you want it. That's what almost all veterans are eligible for, and it's all veterans that were honorably discharged from the military. So that's what most of them are eligible for. You don't have to take it. Some people take parts of it. Some people don't take parts of it. So let's say you're cremated and not going to be buried. You don't necessarily need that stone at the cemetery or the marker, but you may want the flag as a memento. You may want the presentation, the taps, the gun salute, things along those lines. People also believe, well, I was a veteran, maybe my funeral's covered. And almost always the answer is no. You have to be disabled in a certain fashion. Your local veteran service officer can help you if you are eligible for financial compensation from the veterans. It's going to be on your DD-214. It's going to have to do with, were you disabled because of military service, which your veteran service officer can help you out with. So that's on the financial side of it. If you do die in a VA facility, either down in Madison or up in Tolma or really any VA facility, by dying in the VA facility, you actually are eligible for some financial compensation. And the federal government has kind of a list of what everything is worth, what they will pay for, what they will not pay for. So that's on the financial side of it. So a lot of people think, I'm a veteran, it's taken care of. Not necessarily. So also something that people see as a veteran is out at the cemetery, there's the flag holders. Now, a lot of times those come from the local veteran service office, but sometimes the Legion will help you out, depending on the community and the county, on where those come from, on how you get those out to the cemetery. And then the cemetery gets flags from the local veteran service officer or the Legion, and they put those out in the spring, and then they take them in the fall, so they don't have to weather all winter out at the cemetery.
So if you have one, if your loved one has one of those, can you take them yourself, take them home?
The bronze marker?
Right.
So when we fill out the application for the marker, the cemetery actually has to sign off on it that veteran is buried there, and they do have a grave at that cemetery. So if you want the flag, you can take home. The actual marker at the cemetery has to sign off that says this veteran is buried here, this marker will be put out at the cemetery. So you can't have that to take home as a memento. The federal government does dictate that in order to receive that, you do have to be buried in a cemetery.
For your loved one to have taps, you said you can choose to not have taps if you don't want it?
Yes, because some people, their military career went different directions. Some people are very into it. Maybe it took them a couple decades and now they're okay with their military service. And some people, they were in it. Maybe they had to be in it. They were drafted or they signed up and it just left a bad taste in their mouth. So they don't necessarily want it. Maybe their family just says, I want the flag. So you have the option to pick and choose. Some people think taps is the best thing that a veteran could have. And some people say it's just too emotional. It's something that they don't want to have. Same thing with the firing of the guns, with the salute, the presentation. But a lot of times they will take the flag. And if it's on a casket and it's draped, the local veterans will fold it up for you. Otherwise, the funeral home will, or it can already be folded up and then presented to you in a triangle form for you to take home. It's not a flag to be flown anywhere. It is actually for display only, which is, we do get the questions on, because if you unfold the flag, there are eyelets that to be hung up on a flagpole, but it says right on the flag, not for to be flown outside. So it is for display only, even if they do have the eyelets that you could run the flag up a pole with.
Today's Pratt Chat has been sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. For answers to the questions you have, call the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service at 608-647-4808 or visit PrattFuneralService.com.
Hauling, fencing, hunting, as sure as real work requires breaking a sweat, John Deere Gator utility vehicles work as tough and play as hard as you do. Find your Gator at Hillsboro Equipment, because you don't need just any side-by-side, you need a cargo box that performs under stress and extreme conditions, and an engine that hustles with or without a full load in the back. Run with us on a Gator UTV from Hillsboro Equipment, Boston Equipment, or Slama's Lawn and Sport.
Hello everyone, Brian from Walsh's. I am happy to announce that Walsh's will be having the Children's Miracle Network Bucket Sale today through Saturday. Buy a bucket and get 20% off things that fit in it. Some exclusions apply. On Saturday only in Muscadet, the Dark Knight will be at the store. Come in dressed in your superhero costume and you are eligible to win prizes. So come in and help us surpass last year's goal. As always, we appreciate your business and please stop in and help the kids.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
This is a special report from ABC News. Americans back home. I'm Sherry Preston. The next phase of the journey has begun for the three Americans who were wrongfully detained in Russia. They are now at Brooke Army Medical Center near San Antonio, beginning the reintegration process. ABC's Maria Villarreal is there.
The program requires physical checkups, but it's primarily designed to help them decompress and meet with mental health experts. Now, WNBA star Brittany Griner also went through this program back in December of 2022 after her release from imprisonment in Russia. She released a statement saying, in part, "We are overwhelmed with joy and relief for the U.S. citizens who returned safely to the United States."
The swap involved 24 different people and had been in the works for months. The final agreement did not involve any money or favors, says National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Nothing was offered to the Russians beyond the prisoners in this exchange. That's it. That's the only thing that was offered.
This is ABC News. Israel is bracing for a response from Iran after